Well, in this episode, we learned how to have 10 kids in 10 days, and we learned how to live in Puerto Rico, Montana, and Arizona all at the same time. Sam, what happened? What just happened?
I mean, we got to interview none other than Anne Marie Norton, mother of 10, wife to Jerry Norton, running an absolute empire, not just in business, but also in an empire of a family, getting to pour into us about how to scale truly and how to optimize intimacy, which is something that we never talk about. And I gotta say, man, it was one of the most insightful discussions I think we've had in an extremely long time.
Yeah. Jokes all aside, this podcast was one of the deepest and one of the most impactful ones that I've been a part of. And I thoroughly look forward to you guys being able to enjoy this episode with Anne Marie Norton. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of The Ordinary Story. Today we have a beautiful, talented, and I'm honestly very curious about her backstory and her origin story today, Miss Anne Marie Norton. So Anne Marie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
Yes, today's going to be an amazing podcast. If you guys don't know who Anne Marie is, well, you're going to get to know who she is today, but a little background. Her and her husband Jerry run a what I call a real estate empire, and they also run a kid empire as well at home, which we'll definitely get into. Yeah, a family empire. But without further ado, Sam, will you kind of let us into what the origin story is all about?
Yeah. So a while back, Logan decided that he and I were going to do a podcast, and I vehemently said no. I said, no way. I don't listen to him. I don't watch him. I don't want to do it. And he said, we're absolutely going to do one, and you have no choice, and we're going to do this really kind of fun thing where we're going to just bring guests on who we're massively interested in, and we just want to learn their stories. We want to learn their stories. We want to learn what they're doing, what they're up to, how they became who they are. And what we in the process found is that the people who watch us, our audience base, these new entrepreneurs are doing something extremely scary, and that's leaving behind W-2s, trying to create generational change, and that's freaking terrifying. And when they're doing that, it's hard to look at, you know, the social media influencers because they may not lead by the best example. They may not show the whole story. So we've discovered that people don't resonate with the successes. They don't resonate with the wins. They resonate with the trials, the tribulations, and the come up. So on the origin story, that's what we're all about. And Maria, I didn't think I was going to say this, but I'm going to say it because this is actually really important. Logan and I, we actually haven't done an origin story in a little bit of time because we crossed off a lot of names, a lot of people that we wanted to connect with. And then very recently, I asked Logan, what topic are you interested in? And then he responded, I'm not interested in topics. I'm interested in people. And then something in my brain clicked. And one, I realized that it's going to take a little bit more time for us to do another episode of origin story. And then I went to Puerto Rico the second time. And it was the second time that I got to hang around with you and the entire Norton clan. And you were speaking to one of my all-time best friends, Marlon Johnson, about return. I'm not going to say it, but ROI. And in that moment, I was quietly observing, I realized that this is a human being that the world needs to absolutely see. And then you didn't know it then. In my mind, I'm like, she has no clue she's going to be our next guest on Origin Story. So with that being said, Anne Marie, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence here today. But lead us in. Tell us about your origin story.
Okay, well, definitely feel like what I'm doing these days is a lot different than what I originally had for the plan in my life. And I absolutely love the perspective that you guys are taking with this podcast and really looking at the development of humans. That has something that's always been super interesting to me, and especially as a mom of 10 biological children.
How many?
10.
Oh my gosh.
that I have been able to see, and I, from a young age, have always been super interested in personal development. I literally at 14 started reading like Stephen Covey. Wow. Like you would not believe. Also started studying like Benjamin Franklin and some of his organizational kinds of systems. The oldest girl and my family had this really unique opportunity to move to Switzerland when I was I think I was about 12 years old. And so I got this opportunity to kind of go to this international school and have this really diverse cultural experience and be able to see people's different motivations and why they were doing what they were doing. And I'm an analytical kind of systems. I think because of that human development, huge drive to towards knowing. And I do like to coin myself specifically as a motivation coach, that I feel like this has just been a natural interest that I have had since I was really young. But having this like really diverse, you know, international kind of experience, I just started to notice these patterns of what people were moving towards and why they were moving towards those things. And, you know, grew up in a really solid, conservative Christian worldview as well. And so I also feel like I got like really a lot of outside pressure on how I should be. And I feel like I've been spending a lot of my time grappling with this mindset pressure of what I felt like I should be and then what I actually was, and being able to kind of have this drive to be a high achiever and to, you know, be able to prove myself and do things and then be able to face my limitations at the same time. And so I think in all honesty, you know, to kind of make decisions, I was in Switzerland and we moved to Michigan. My dad worked for General Motors. So Michigan was like the most, you know, central place for him to go with GM. And I met my husband there. And having grown up in a pretty affluent school environment, one of the things that was my prerequisites for marrying Jerry was that I wanted to make sure that he had no desire to accumulate wealth whatsoever.
Interesting.
And in my mind, I had these associations with these motivations, I think, that I could see with wealth, with some of the less authentic people that I grew up around that were using their money to try to prove that worth, just like I was grappling with kind of trying to prove my worthiness through a religious mind frame. And just kind of being able to see the ways that we can fall into being not authentic, and using our money or using our beliefs or our experiences to try to prove that we have more or less worth than someone else versus a different experience. And I feel like this is the core idea that I keep coming back to in my coaching and in my parenting, most especially, and even in the way that I am, you know, associated with other people, is this innate mapping ability that I had to be able to sniff out people who were trying to prove their worth through their wealth or through their experience or through their worthiness. And so I was young and I didn't have it quite right. And I just thought, well, if you just, you know, stay away from wealth, then you're going to be able to be authentic and you're going to be able to, you know, pretty much, I guess, do the right thing. And really just having this motivation from such a young age to want to know the right things, to want to do the right things. And in all honesty, you know, we did get a bunch of bonus babies, but we did want to have a large family. I especially always wanted to have a large family. And in my mind, you know, having children and what I was starting to experience is that the ways that the children, as I was having them, the ways that they were pressuring me to grow, the skill sets that they were pressuring me to develop, what there just wasn't any experience like it. And Jerry and I went through quite a few years though, where we were really at odds and having this tug of war over what was the more right thing, you know, to be putting all of our energy and growth into family and these family relationships, or putting all this growth into our business. And I say our business, but I think back then I wasn't really looking at our business as ours at all. I was looking at my family, his business. Yeah. And, you know, business is bad because business is just trying to prove your wealth through your or prove your worth through wealth. And a family is, you know, relationships, that's where it's at. But the truth was, if I go deep down, and part of the thing that I try to help people to be able to see is the difference between the motivation of their ego and their actual motivation of the goals that they're trying to achieve. And so Jerry was trying to reinforce his ego with this big, bad real estate company. And I was trying to reinforce my ego with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
But we, you know, even though we kind of maybe got into both of those things for the wrong reasons, sticking with them and endeavoring to figure out the right way, I think has made us stay in the business of raising children and the business for the right reasons. And so being a stay-at-home mom, setting any of my professional endeavors aside, in all honesty, didn't really have a ton of professional endeavors, still like a huge desire to grow myself, to be able to learn about human development, about connection, highly driven towards just really having, you know, the desire for amazing connections in my life, wanting to be very intimate. And that's when, Sam, when you were talking about the ROI, my biggest thing is thinking about your return on intimacy and not just your return on your investment with your business, but how intimacy actually invests in your life. And so I was really pushing for that really hard. And having all of these children and being able to see the way that they were pressuring me to self-validate, having this relationship with Jerry where we were not seeing eye to eye, not recognizing the value in our different ways of being, and the way that we were butting heads to not value our differences, kind of, you know, in the business world, we talk lots about the integrator and the visionary. And so it drove me into a lot of understanding about our intimate relationship with ourselves, which is understanding a lot about our personality and not just our behaviors, but our actual motivations of why we do what we do. And being able to see that those differences with my children and see those differences within Jerry and I, and at first not valuing them because it was like my way is the most right way. But then, you know, having this many kids, living between two places, having such a huge business, it's just been the best recipe for growth for us to develop a massive skill set that is actually directly transferable to what we're finding to the professional world. If you can self-validate what you are doing as a parent when you have children that are not validating what you're telling them is going to happen, or not even validating you, and maybe even telling you that they hate you, and you can still choose and do things for the right reasons from an authentic place. If you can do that as a parent and you can sleep well at night knowing that you are showing up with your skill set to the best of your ability, and you're giving your partner, whether it's a business partner or your intimate partner, giving them the space to truly live into what their motivation is and what their gifts are. Our origin story is this growth of being really dependent on proving our ego to letting go to this beautiful, each of us being able to see the massive gifts that we each have and being able to fly and put those together and do them side by side, and seeing what Jerry's been able to pull together with our business, with me in a little coaching pillow talk place, and all these things that I'm learning about, being able to share that with him, seeing the impact that had on the business, seeing the impact that that had on our relationship with our kids, how we could help them to grow, how it was helping us to grow. And then being able to see this drive and desire for, you know, resources to also be able to support this family / personal experience, that it's my belief that your, you know, order, your hierarchy of relationships, in really being able to have a life that is for experience sake, not for proving your worth, is that you at first really become clear and have real honesty about your relationship with self. Mm-hmm. And what you're really trying to reverse engineer from your deathbed, literally. and then your relationship with your intimate others, and then your relationship with business. And we want to share that story because we did it backwards. And we thought, let's get the business put together, or at least Jerry thought that. I was having a not right mindset either, of just like, no, don't worry about that money stuff at all. That's not for good. Yeah. But I think a lot of us think, you know, in the business world, that personal development is reading books that are more books that are going to prove your worth to yourself in the world, versus actually being intimate, going inward, facing what your limitations are, discerning what parts of my ego are driving this right now, and what parts of the actual experience that I want to create, and being able to clearly see both of those and stay in the lane of creating an experience way more often than in the lane of proving your ego. And when you set that aside, fireworks. Yeah. And we've been able to experience those fireworks, not all the time, but when we do have that synergy, you know, just, I guess that's the origin story of just this, you know, tug of war to each of us have a superpower. It's not about proving ourselves. It's really about what do we want. And something that we have been able to get to experience that we realize so many people really value, but they don't talk about it as much, is having a really peaceful relationship with yourself and having a really intimate relationship, especially with your significant other and your kids. And we have that, and we haven't always had that. And I want to shout from the rooftops the kind of ROI intimacy brings into your rocket fuel that it gives you in your business or in your other relationships in your life. So,
dude, so let me summarize this, and you tell me if I got this right, is that to detach from the worthiness of business, to detach from the worthiness of being a parent, detach from anything, mm-hmm. we must first truly understand ourselves, love ourselves, and then be able to set aside our ego. Is that what yeah. Was that close?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's perfect.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So basically, it's not that money is bad. It's not any of those labels are not bad. It's just how we detach a worth from them and just make them something that becomes fulfilling, is that we must first just love ourselves, and those things become mm-hmm. something that creates the experience behind what we do. Is that?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're spot on. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And I want to hit on this, because you mentioned this, right? I love this, because we hear the word intimacy and we think of a partner, and then you said being intimate with yourself. And I think you're the first human being I've ever heard say that. And which is weird, because like I don't like, now that you say it, it makes so much freaking sense.
Right, right.
And one thing that like it just goes to my mind is, we feel things, right? You're working with Jerry, you're trying to optimize all the things, and then what's ended up happening is you guys have almost a combative approach in the beginning. It's butting heads. It's my way, my way, my way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times what we don't do is we don't actually question, like, we know what we're thinking, we know what we're feeling, but we don't question why. Why yes, are we yes. actually, and it's very easy to say, I feel this way because I'm right, they're wrong. Mm-hmm. But you know, one thing that you mentioned so early on is you're so keenly aware of associations. Because of your childhood, you associated that these people who were trying to prove their worth through wealth, mm-hmm. and that was your underlying motivation. And the fact that you even have like the presence of mind, the self-awareness, and the clarity within yourself to be able to call that out is such a massive step to growth. And like, I'm taking that in, and I'm like, I'm stealing that, just so you know, because And it's one of those things, we have influences on our lives, right?
Yeah,
and not very often do we audit those influences, mm-hmm. and we don't necessarily audit them or maybe even give them permission to be there. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. But I want to ask a little bit of a tactical question, because out of everyone on the screen, I'm the only one who isn't married and has kids. So,
comma yet.
Yes.
So you say ROI, right? Return on intimacy. Mm-hmm. So as a businessman, I understand the return on investment. There's an input to get an output.
Exactly.
in your version, all right, in the thing that you want to talk about, the ROI return on intimacy, mm-hmm. what are some of those inputs that can help get that great output?
Great question. And so one of the benefits of both Jerry and I trying to do these really intense things at the same time, raise such a large family and build such a big business at the same time, is that we were getting to pass all of these books back and forth. And so I got my hands on the book Scaling Up and got to see, you know, the value in the things that I thought were important in trying to create within relationships. And I do think too, no matter of what your gender actually is, there is, you know, masculine and feminine kind of energy things that feminine energy gets to hold the candle for protecting. And something that I have really enjoyed expressing my feminine energy in is protecting and buoying up relationships. And so it's super important to be able to have your relationship with yourself. And it takes an SOP in order to be able to have that relationship with yourself. You know, we have all of these different departments that we talk about within our business, and that we know we got to think about the, you know, operations. We got to think about the technology. We got to think about finance. We got to think about marketing, but we don't think about the reverse engineer of the relationships that we want to create. We don't think about the joy that comes from sleeping really well at night because you've gotten to know yourself. When I do my coaching and I start talking to people and I ask them questions that become very uncomfortable very quick, and it just is a simple word of why. And, you know, I'll ask them why they're doing these deals or why they even want to be able to like leave money for their children, or, you know, why it is that they are, you know, wanting that car. Why do they want that house? And people, and I start trying to help them to be able to see that there's one of four motivation main stories that Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, color code, any of these personality profiles, you know, it's kind of complex. Myers-Briggs is like 16 and Enneagram's like 9. And in these things that I've observed is that there's four main motivations. One is towards experience and fun. Two is towards safety and comfort. Three is towards movement. And four is towards learning. And so starting to do, and I have a YouTube video that's on Jerry Norton's channel, and it's called The Steer Model. And it's this very analytical SOP for you to be able to get intimate at first with self, to be able to try to write this acronym down on either side of a piece of paper and be able to intimately see your private emotional self. You know, when we talk about being intimate with a partner, you're talking about being able to see each other's, you know, private parts, your intimate, your emotional private parts, physical private parts, because you're sharing something with somebody else that is so sacred and special to you that you are not going to just share that with whoever. It's special. But being able to have that special relationship and actually see your own motivation, see your own personality, see your limitations, and hold on to yourself and not let your nervous system, your reflexive limbic self blow up, is a huge skill set that most people don't have, because it requires practice. And there's a system that's set up between your frontal cortex and your nervous system. And your nervous system is just set to be triggered anytime it perceives a story around not being good enough. And it's the perfect thing to evolve your frontal cortex to make you not make your ego be the thing that runs, and have the opportunity over and over again to choose, just because my nervous system is giving me this idea, is this what I actually want to believe is true? Am I going to reflexively just shut down and not look at who I really am, what my motivation really is? Am I going to be able to be vulnerable and intimate enough with myself to write down on the piece of paper that my selfish motivation for doing this deal is to be able to make more money than my brother so that I look better than him? People don't want to talk about that part. So when I'm talking
why is that part important?
To be able to see that you have a limbic self, that you have a part of yourself that's going to play competitive hierarchy games, that is about, you know, the nervous system motivation is to survive. It's to be comfortable, and it wants to reproduce itself. It wants to reiterate its own story. It has a different motivation than your frontal cortex that's trying to cultivate and create a specific on purpose experience. And so if you can't see your limbic self, if you can't see your selfish, super prideful ego, then it gets to run the show. Yeah. And you don't even know when I coach people who are having a hard time with their deals and they're, you know, like, well, I just can't get on the phone again because I got all this rejection. I lost all this money. And I try to help them see the reason that you're not getting on the phone again is because that last deal that you did was to prove your worth. And you proved that you weren't worthy, it wasn't actually to do a deal. So you had the wrong motivation with that deal. If you really wanted it to be about the deal, that whole mistake would be for learning, not for earning your worth. Because we want to learn our way through life, not earn our way through life. That won't work. You're never going to be satiated. The nervous system is constantly going to be presenting to you that you aren't good enough. That's its role. And when we just acknowledge that that's what it's constantly going to be doing, it allows us also to be present in the experience that you're having with that deal or with that relationship to be able to just enjoy the journey, because it's about learning. It's about the experience of it, not the worth that you're getting from it when you do it right. And I think from our life experience, that is actually way more motivating that you actually, when you're kind to yourself and when you actually are doing it for experience sake, it takes the dirty pain away and it allows that clean pain, and it's still pain because you're still learning, to feel invigorating and motivating. And it's not that you don't have hard feelings. You have the capacity to handle those hard feelings because those feelings don't mean anything about your worth. And that's what our nervous system is perceiving as the threat. Yeah. So that is why personal intimacy is the most important thing that you will ever be able to focus on in any area of your life. And of course, you can't share a sense of self with someone else if you don't have that sense of self in the first place. Yeah. So it really is what I'm also trying to share with the world is a different hierarchy, a different level of priorities that are, I think, really backwards from what we don't even realize that we're saying in the self-development world, in the business world. You know, get your resources in order, be safe about that, you know, then work on your marriage and your kids and then whatever you have left over.
Yeah.
In the way of like truly being seen and being able to see yourself without making it mean anything about you.
So me and my wife fall very in line with what you just said right there. And I want to share with you how I see it. And then I want you to share with like your version of this as well. So the way I see it, as far as relationships, the most important relationship in my life is myself. Mm-hmm. The second most important relationship is with my wife. Mm-hmm. And then the next most important relationships are with my two kids.
Yep.
How does your hierarchy compare to something like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, and when you're saying your relationship with self, I also want to say my relationship with God and God and self, because I do feel like my relationship with self is looking at self in the same way that God looks at me. And that is that this is all for learning's sake, that all men are created equal, no matter what kind of experience it is that they create in their life. And that also God can see what my limitations are. And that doesn't mean that he loves me any less. So my relationship and relating to myself, the way that I think he relates to me, I think is the first step. I think that's interchangeable. So I totally agree. That's my priority list too.
I think I'll say controversy, but maybe where other people have different views is that they might put their kids maybe above their spouse, or they put their spouse in front of them, or one of those things. So kind of go into your thoughts on why your hierarchy is similar.
Meaning why my hierarchy is similar to yours?
Yeah, like why, I guess let me like, is your, like, is that how you would put your hierarchy as well? It's like basically your husband above your kids. That's mainly the big thing.
Yep. Yeah, no, yeah. I totally agree. And I almost think that that hierarchy, I think that it's easier, especially for our egos. Our egos want to be reinforced, or our nervous system wants to be reinforced. And so I think it's the easiest thing to, you know, not to throw Jerry under the bus at all, but it's a lot easier to be in relationship. Yeah. It's a lot easier to be in relationship with a business where everybody's calling you a flipping genius. Versus being in relationship with yourself, where you know deep down what your limitations are. And we know the kind of ways that, especially, you know, typically high producing, high functioning entrepreneurs, business people, the way that they talk to themselves, it's much easier to work with that relationship with business. So that's why people put that first. And then the next easier relationship to have is with your kids, because they're little and they just validate you no matter what they do, especially when they're little, and it gets a little harder. And that's why people struggle with teens. Okay. And then the next hardest relationship is your spouse. You can have somebody on the road flip you off and you don't know them. You don't care what they think about you. But this person who you're living with, who knows you almost as good as you know yourself, is the next hardest relationship to conquer. And then the hardest relationship to face and work on is that one with self, because there's nowhere that you can truly hide. And we try to, our nervous system, even self-deception is a real thing. Our nervous system does shut that stuff down in order to keep your physiological functions going. You know, it will hijack and say, you are totally triggered right now. This is too much trauma. And it will shut you down from actually being able to see the truth of what's going on, which is, Sam, why I do think it's so important. Sorry, I got some Montana flies hanging around here. Is that you do, you know, have an experience to be in relation with other people, because other people, and especially in an intimate way, I do think that for me, that's been the best growth, because somebody else is going to let you in on that self-deception that you think you're just so amazing. And then, you know, you fling your toothpaste all over the mirror and they can't see themselves in the morning, and they let you know, hey, that's rude. Or, you know, that's not a very cool thing to do. And all of a sudden you can't have that self-deception anymore. You have to be able to face, hey, the things that I do are having impact on someone else. And kids for sure will pressure you to do that when you get to see like what your patient skills are like, when you know this little dependent person that's not really managing their impulses, like how am I going to manage my impulses relative to their incapacity to do so? Being in relationship, I think, is what evolved. I know there's a lot of research that's going into. David Schnarch has done a lot of studies literally about the cognitive ability that happens when we are in relation with other people, and that frontal cortex having to constantly choose between whether you're just going to indulge in those impulses that your nervous system are giving you that are very self-centered, or whether you're going to intentionally create a situation that is making room for everyone that you want to have a part in your life. And there's definitely a part of those skills that are going to be brought into your business. But if you're really capable of being able to have unconditional love and see the goodness in your own self and also see your limitations and hold on to that love at the same time, if you can do that with self, then you can do that with your spouse. Then you can do that with your kids. And you'd be amazed. I've seen now, as I've been raising children and I'm, you know, moving into managing contractors, I'm moving into managing employees, and I'm like, wow, these people are so mature. You know, they can just function in a totally different way, but a lot of the same ways that I'm holding to my own, you know, beliefs in the way that I'm holding on to myself as I'm in relation with them. Like these are all skill sets that I think back in the day, I used to think, you know, a way that the world also maybe thinks that as a stay-at-home mom, that you are you know, diminishing a lot of your skill set, that the things that you're doing that are very mundane, and that you're losing your sense of self. And after 10 children, I absolutely do not think that that's true. I think that, and there's been times where I've thought that, but being able to see the drive, the patience, the character attributes, the determination, the observance, just the experience of being in relation to these little people who are, I have adult children now as well. And like I've got 23 all the way down to 2. I've got 8. And then being married to Jerry and all of his intensity. And I'm an intense person too, that I'm being able to see all these skill sets. They transfer back and forth. I have not been wasting away behind the scenes at all. I've been growing myself up quite a bit.
So I think one of the most common excuses, for lack of a better word, is people will blame their kids for why they didn't stop chasing their own dreams, stop chasing their goals, stop self-improving. Mm-hmm. And so you have 10 kids, and you talked about managing contractors, managing employees. And many times throughout this podcast, you talked about books, and you talked about the personal development. It's clear that you are a learner yourself.
Yeah.
So the question that people are listening is how do you do that? Like, what is your overall strategy? And then for thinking about this from the viewer, the mm-hmm. everyday woman or man, and they mm-hmm. have a small family, or they're getting ready to have kids. It's like, wow, like I thought kids were going to burden me, and you have like done literally the flip and opposite, and they have grown you.
Yeah. How? Yeah.
Let me, I have to say this, because I've now been to the Norton Puerto Rico house twice. I've been to the Montana house once. I'm just checking off all the boxes at this point. And what Logan said is an understatement. When I was at your home in Montana, you had all of your kids, you had Jerry, and then you had about 300 people just screaming, going bonkers, vendors, food trucks, all these things. And I'm an observer. When I'm in gigantic social settings, I'm an observer. Mm-hmm. And observing you, I was like, she's not buckling. She doesn't seem stressed out. She doesn't seem overwhelmed. In fact, like it was like, I was talking to one of my friends and I was like, does she look like eerily too okay with all of this? Like she's so ready. But that's it. It's a massive understatement. And I've watched you and Jerry do what you guys do. And I mean, like, let's be honest, you guys aren't slouches in business. You guys have an empire in business, and you are doing so much more, and there's so much more coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm here in my 20s, and I literally was watching both of you, and I'm like, I can't ever pretend I have an excuse anymore. Mm. Like, I'm just echoing everything Logan said, but yeah, how?
Yeah, how? That's a great question. And I've tried to think through and reverse engineer. And, you know, by the way, I'm dropping balls all over the place. You know, nothing is going perfectly at our house whatsoever. Yeah. I do feel like the event that we had at the house was really invigorating. I didn't feel like it was definitely intense, but I don't think I would use the word, you know, overwhelming. And I think that it just has to do with these incremental opportunities to exercise the skill set of managing anxiety, managing a lot of things going on and not making it mean anything about me. I wasn't on pins and needles when everybody was here. My daughter was sticking her tongue out at everybody as she was walking down the stairs and people were calling to her. And she was literally like, don't talk to me, you know, and she's 2. And so people were thinking that that was cute, but I know a lot of other parents that would use their child to try to validate their worth as a parent. And I know that she's 2 and she's got to learn how to manage the impulse. And there's lots of people there. And so I'm not super stressed out about what my teens were saying or what my 2-year-old was saying, because it doesn't mean anything about me. It's just the experience. And I wanted to have that experience. I wanted my family to get a chance to be able to work together. Our house was not ready. We ended up landing in Montana almost 2 weeks later than what we wanted, because our flight from Puerto Rico got canceled. And it is no small feat to get our entire family on another flight once one gets canceled. So we had a little detour in Utah, but it was an awesome opportunity. Some of the things that were going on in Utah. And so, you know, having so many logistics with the business, so many logistics with the kids, and just practicing over time to go with the flow, but then also practicing being really consistent about specific SOPs that I definitely run a tight ship. I do have systems around here for developing my intimacy with self. I have systems that are for my intimacy with Jerry. We, you know, have these things that are rituals from 8 until 9 o'clock in the morning. That is our time. We go for a walk, but that means that I've got to figure out hired help, or I've got to figure out a schedule with my teens to make sure the younger kids are taken care of. So Jerry and I can have one whole hour where we're just eyeball to eyeball, because I want the experience of feeling infatuated with him and just in love. And I'm not going to let that go. We have these moments where we are able to reverse engineer, you know, the gratitude and the beauty it is to really genuinely feel authentically loved by someone. And so I'm going to fit that part into my day first. And the rest of the stuff is going to have to fall to the wayside. So we have gotten really good at compartmentalizing. And I'm really excited. Jerry and I are working on a retreat. We're going to have one at the beginning of February at our boutique hotel that's opening in a few weeks. And we do want to be able to share with the world some of these specific systems that we have accrued over the years that, you know, I could talk to you guys forever about really simplistic things that people, I think, don't put very much attention into, because they think the greater ROI is if I put all my energy into what's going to make me more money. And they may not realize the amount of emotional drain, strained relationship with their spouse, strained relationship with their teens, even a strained relationship with piles of laundry or healthy food that has not got a system to be in your fridge at the right time. And I don't think people realize the impact that those kinds of things have on their business. And so they don't reverse engineer and create a very specific, you know, operations and systems for their home and the things that you have on the home front. You kind of don't have the same accountability that you do at home as you do in a workplace where somebody, you know, is relying on you and there's money that's being exchanged. That in the way that I've learned to show up as a mom, I've kind of had to, because of my intense drive, I've had to look at myself as the CEO of Norton Inc. And to on purpose create a business and run it to the best of my ability to be able to have the kind of experience that everybody's wanting to create within their business, and realize just because nobody's getting paid for that, so to speak. And I don't even think that's true, because I do think in seeing the way that Jerry and I have worked so well together as a team is, you know, me being able to run with those things that I'm good at and him running with the things that he's so good at, and seeing the things that I have done to really make Norton Inc. really be flowing so that he could really focus on those parts of the business. And, you know, us being able to take turns between the two of us to really discern, what is your skill set? What is my skill set? This isn't about which job is better or worse. But when it's not about our ego, and I don't need to be front and center flipping genius, and I can be behind the scenes reading the books and doing the consulting and, you know, really connecting and being observant and present with what's going on with our kids at home, or the laundry system. I've got a laundry system that would make your head spin, guys. The best thing ever. But being able to, like, just do it for experience sake versus, oh, I was built for better things than laundry, so I'm just not going to put any attention into it. And being able to self-validate in, no, we're trying to create an experience. I want to be able to travel. Our family's done, you know, a 9-month long RV trip. Now we're living between two places. That's a lot of logistics with a lot of kids to be having two homes that are able to keep up with basic health code violations and keeping people fed. And so I've needed to be really disciplined about that. But putting the effort into figuring those things out has been amazing synergy then for us to grow our business at the same time. Because when things aren't working like that, they really take away from your creative capacity, from your energy capacity, from your health capacity, and just your joy capacity. I can't think of anything that's more joyful than, and I kind of dare anybody to really think of the real, honest, most joyful experiences in their life, if that doesn't have something to do with a relationship, whether that's feeling really at peace with yourself, that you did the right thing for the right reason, and that that was just an amazing experience to go through to just do the right thing, or a really connecting moment that you've had with somebody who you really care about, or even somebody that you just met. I really think those are the things that this life is made for, but you have to reverse engineer and you have to be willing to do the work to create the systems and be consistent with those systems for those experiences to be able to happen.
Well, you two things I want to hit on. One, you mentioned one of my favorite words over the last year, and that's attention. These things take attention. Mm-hmm. And there's this kind of like saying that I've been saying to myself, and it's basically clearing the clutter of your own attention. And it's like you mentioned laundry, right? The food prep for 10 kids.
Yeah, no
joke. Is a monster. I don't even know how many washers and dryers you all have, but I guarantee it's more than the average household. But you're right. That pile of laundry that's been sitting there for 2 days when it should have been handled on day one, right? Mm-hmm. The food that's churning, all these things they're little tiny units of attention, and they may not blow up right now, but the problem is they're like Legos and they keep stacking. Exactly. And then when you have something big in the business or on the home front in the marriage, something huge blows up, it's very hard to handle it because you have such little attention left to give. And exactly. So it's like for everyone that's here, it's anyone that watches this later on, just clear the freaking clutter because it can toxify everything else. That's mm-hmm. insane. But one other thing that I wanted to hit on, I'm going to give an example of one because I think this is a lot of couples especially will want to get an idea or example of what you guys do. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that there's like these non-negotiable little things, little rituals that help you maintain the intimacy between you and Jerry. Yeah, and one that I'm going to share is that he shared this on Instagram and I freaking loved it. And I thought it was so cheesy and it was awesome. It was that you guys try not to fly first class, even though you have all the money in the world, which to me is so backwards because I'm like, first classes look so nice. But you guys don't fly first class. You fly economy because the dividers in between the seats are thinner. And so you and Jerry can literally just spend 2, 3, 4 hours just cuddling the entire time. That's an amazing little ritual. I mean, are there any other that you're like that you're okay with sharing with the audience?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it does sound so cheesy, but they are just the little things like that. And I think having had this many kids and where the kids are always around, that it's really given us the context and also provided us this really big framework of compartmentalization. And so when we are, you know, finally on a trip, I have been nursing for 23 years. I have been pregnant or nursing for 23 years straight. Okay. I've always
how are you, had, Sam?
What's that?
Said so, Sam, how are you? 26, 27?
I just turned 27.
So wow. I've always had like a little person attached to me or like kind of maybe in the way of the two of us. And so what has been beautiful is by pushing ourselves and, you know, having 10 kids is not the right recipe for growth for everyone. This has just been the right recipe for us, but it's like this slingshot that's kind of been pulling us back that now we finally have a chance to work together. We finally have a chance to fly somewhere together. And we're like, this first class is not about our status that we get to have first class because we're not doing this for ego. We want the experience and we freaking love awesome. Touching each other. We want to be as close to each other as we possibly can. And even I know for, you know, travel, Jerry has been very, very selective about when he'll go away from the family, when he'll go away from me, because we just love being together and we've made it more about the experience of being together and cultivated that gratitude And, you know, not that I'm saying we haven't ever had struggles in our marriage, like we really, really have. And that's almost, I think, what has given us the context for, you know, we felt what it felt to not value this relationship, to take it for granted, and to think that the peace and the satiation was going to come from these outside sources. And we've kind of arrived with those outside sources, you know, not completely, because that's the thing. You can always have more, and then you always have the threat that you're going to lose what you've really accumulated a lot of. That, you know, even with what you were talking about, Sam, with the experience that we had over the summer to have 350 people over to the house, it's about being able to enjoy the experience as you go. Because if it really doesn't mean anything about you arriving anywhere, then it's just what needs to happen right now for me to be the most present. And so I don't know, you know, besides our like morning hour that we have where we don't talk about logistics, it really is just, this is how I feel about you. This is what I'm grateful for. These are the things that I'm excited about. And just being able to hold hands, and just, it's cheesy, but it's my favorite time of the day. And we do date night, you know, once a week. But otherwise, it is the little things of like being on the plane of what can we do to really be able to cultivate. And I feel so bad for whoever's sitting in that third seat because on the plane, because there's no dividers in economy. And, you know, we're putting those armrests up and we're just all snuggled into each other. And they're like, what are these honeymooners doing? You know, get a room. And we're like, if we told them that we've been married for 25 years and we have 10 kids, sometimes we do just to see their reaction.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what are you guys doing? You know, and I think people think, have a certain idea in their head of what's going to happen after 10 kids. And there's not a lot of context for them. They don't know that many people who have done this. And that's been an amazing part of our life too, because there's so few people who are having this huge family and a business at the same time.
Yeah.
That is where we are feeling like, hey, we have an opportunity to share with the world that are having a lesser experience with the size of, you know, a smaller family or a lesser business experience, to be able to say, wow, we had to go big. Like we had to figure out laundry. We had to figure out food systems, or it literally would have taken over our life and we would not have been able to do anything else. When you only have a few mouths to feed, you can kind of limp along and it doesn't overtake your life enough that you put attention into it. But now when we're putting attention into it, and we're even being able to talk to people who are having, you know, a family experience that isn't quite so intense, and they take some time to really compartmentalize their life and make sure that they're having intimacy time, they're doing, you know, the systems that need to happen at home, they're getting their affairs in order, and then they're being able to see also how it's propelling them in their business. And mostly just anything that's propelling you in joy and satiation is going to propel you in every other area of your life. And so that's where we're like, even though we've got tons of stuff going on, we got to share this stuff. These are beautiful lessons.
I think what you said right there is like, is one of the reasons that I'm attracted to you and Jerry, is that you guys not only are successful in business, but you guys also have the big family. And I have seen it firsthand as well. Like you guys have a successful family and you do have order. You treat it like, in my experience, you treat it like a business. And, and which is following up to what you said, I think there's a lot of value in that. And another thing that you kind of touched on right there is that you guys were forced to learn these new things. And like talking about the very beginning, right, about like your kids force you to grow, they force you to get better. I think there's a lot of value in putting yourself in a situation where you're forced to grow. And I think us as humans, we limit ourselves. We protect ourselves by thinking small, playing small. Whether that's a big family, whether that's a big business, whether that's just big dreams, it's like, it's a protection mechanism rather than like, just go see what you're capable of.
Yeah.
I think there's something so valuable in that.
Yeah. I totally agree. Totally agree.
And so what, one thing you said on your Instagram, which by the way, if you guys aren't following Amory on Instagram, go follow her on Instagram, Amory Norton. It's right there. I saw that you and Jerry took a trip without the kids recently. What is that experience like, being away from the kids first time in, or I guess second time in like 23 years, like what goes on in your head? Like, again, this is coming from me talking to the people who like, they leave their kid for the first time at 2 or 3 years old. And they're like, it's a big deal. Like sitting over at grandma's, whatever it may be. Kind of what are your thoughts when you leave your kids for a period of time? And you know, kids, like also the logistics behind it too. Like who watches the kids?
Yeah. Well, so we have hired help. And so we have figured out that even like within our business or for the system of our marriage, thinking about where we want to use our resources that are going to best help us to create the experience that we want. I think hired help is culturally, I don't know, kind of shunned or less looked at. And I think it has just a huge impact on so many areas of your life. So we do have hired help. And so that made things a lot easier. We have live-in help when we're in Puerto Rico. Did I lose you guys?
Oh, still here.
No, you're still here.
I don't know why that went across. Okay. So we have hired help in Puerto Rico and, you know, I'm side by side with them, showing them the ropes. We have multiple systems that are happening throughout the day so that, cause we homeschool, in order to be able to live between multiple places and do all the travel that we do, we just found homeschooling to be the best to fit in with our lifestyle. And we've hired tutors. And so I've got this whole literal, you know, like company of helpers that are having different responsibilities to really make sure that everything is still running the same when I leave as when I'm here. And making it so that I'm not so overwhelmed that I can stay at the higher level stuff when I'm at home, but also so that I have time to really be able to show them this is the ideal, this is what we're working towards. So there's a lot of prep work that is happening for us to be able to leave, to make sure food systems and our older kids each take a turn for meal prep in the evenings. And then our hired help helps with meals while everybody's in school mode. And we have cleaning help that comes in and everybody in the household has different jobs that they're doing. They have different days of the week where they're doing their laundry, you know, different animal chores and just all the things that you would think of. We do have to have with spreadsheets. I am a fanatic over Evernote and the reminders app on Apple's. I literally talk things into my reminders list. I don't even open my phone. And my little two-year-old got a bracelet the other day and she was doing this and like pushing the button on her bracelet because she was being such a grown-up talking to her watch. So I've got a lot of systems that as soon as I see something that needs to be done, that I'm using Siri to put stuff on a list so that everybody is very clear about the schedule of the day, the routine of the day. So I've been prepping for this for like 23 years so that when I do go away, I know for the younger kids and the older kids, the rules that are normally happening are still in place. The routine that's happening is still in place. And, you know, it's hard for me to leave for sure. I really miss them, but I'm also being able to see the goodness of, you know, I think Logan, you were talking about that a little bit of being able to communicate, especially with my older kids and say, look at these things that I have learned. And I am not just choosing to have impact on our own family. I am choosing to create systems so that there's space for the experience of me to be able to have impact outside of our family. Yeah. And what are the things that you have value in? What are the things that you're good at that you want to be able to share, not just with our family, but outside of it? And so I've actually found that I could be, especially with my teens, even more intimate from far away and be sharing with them some of these insights that I'm having. Whereas when I'm home and I'm in go mode, that in some ways it can be even harder to be really present because there's, you know, so much to do and I'm working on getting better at that. But it's definitely hard. We're getting ready, you know, to go to Europe in a couple days and we're just taking a handful, well, not even a handful, we're taking a few kids with us to Europe. And my heart is breaking over leaving my little two-year-old. It's still really, really hard, but my integrity and that relationship with self is telling me that there are still hard things that are going to happen, but that it's for the greater good, for the kind of mom that I'm going to be able to be to her. to be able to do some one-on-one time with these other kids and kind of make sure that the priorities, you know, everybody gets a turn to go on trips with mom and dad. We take clusters of kids and try not to overwhelm everybody at the same time. And just the time that I'm taking away with Jerry, what that does for our marriage, what that does for my sense of self, to know I'm not stuck taking care of little kids. I choose to take care of little kids because I want to, because it grows me up, because that's the experience I want to be able to give to them. You know, what they do with the experience and what they make it mean that their mom worked or didn't work is on them. But when I go to bed at night, I want to be able to sleep well, knowing I balance things the best that I could. And I do have 10 kids and I do need to and want to have the experience of a really intimate marriage. And I do feel like that is going to take going to Italy alone with my husband once every 23 years. You know, I am going to discern having these times where I'm setting aside to talk to you guys and be on a podcast, or as I push more content out on my YouTube channel, that taking time away from them, even though it's uncomfortable for me to be away from them, maybe uncomfortable for them, is for the greater good of their growth, for the greater good of the community and the things that I feel so passionately about. So it's hard, but it feels like the right thing. And then I can have peace with, even if things are not going well, which sometimes they don't for sure when I'm gone, that it's also giving them the capacity to be in an uncomfortable situation, see how they're going to grow up in the situation, help them know one of the benefits of being, you know, one of 10 kids is you are not the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. And you have to think about the things that you do and how they impact others and what kind of help you, you know, can or can't be, and what that feels like in the way, what you're making it mean about being either a victim or being blessed to be born into a family of 10, because we don't choose what family we're born into. So it just gives lots of great context to, you know, what are the meanings that we're going to make about it?
This is so good, because, well, it's one of those, it's a saying that's, it's like a phrase, or it's a saying that I've heard multiple times in entrepreneurship, and that's, and it's for parents, and it's one of the greatest forms of child abuse you can ever put your children through is not accomplishing your own dreams, because you show to them that it's not okay. And I think about, you know, what you're doing, and like, I don't have kids, I have dogs. And for me, that's difficult. For me, it's like, it's difficult to leave my dogs. I'm thinking about it. And then what I love about it is that you going to Italy, you going pushing more content, you're going to get to a point where you're not speaking on podcasts, but you have to fly across the country to speak on a stage in front of 1,000 people, and you may not be able to bring all 10 kids. But the reality is, every time you do any of those things, you discover more about yourself. Mm-hmm. You further your own skill sets, you further the attention and the opportunities that are innately coming to you, because as amazing as Jerry is, you're going to attract different opportunities. You're going to attract different vibrational energies that are going to bless you. And then what in turn happens is you get to bring that back to your children, be a better version of yourself for yourself and for them. And I think that, you know, to Logan's point earlier, when parents put their children before themselves, like, I understand that it's maybe sometimes an innate kind of feeling to, or it's inherent. Putting yourself first allows you to be better for them, and it allows them in the long term to develop the most. And it's like, if anyone's still doesn't get it, this is the return on intimacy.
Right.
It's the systems, the processes, the laundry, the annoying the third seat guy in the window who's locked next to you on the plane because you're being too gushy. All of these things have a return, not just on the business, but on the quality of the marriage, the quality of the motherhood, the quality of life.
Absolutely. And
I have to hand it to you. I don't think anyone has ever come on and given such a holistic, I mean, Logan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone's been able to really kind of tie this whole package together this way. I mean, it's amazing. By the way, I was having this subtle realization when I was hearing you talk when we were in Puerto Rico, and that's when I was like, this is why. So amazing. But Logan, I'm so sorry I cut you off earlier.
No, that was great. I think what you said right there, Sam, is like, I'll restate it in a question, and we'll get this podcast, this interview on the heels of wrapping up, because like we have 10 kids to take care of, right? It's 6 o'clock in Montana. Means it's probably dinner time. So.
Yeah. Well, they're handling it. Somebody's on it, and it's not so my day for dinner. And so,
yeah, I think what you said, Sam, is really cool. Is that for me, somebody who is a business mm-hmm. human being, and also a family human being as well. Mm-hmm. And you and Jerry being like the pinnacle of both those things, like those are the two things I aspire to be.
Yeah.
It's really cool to hear how you've made the same principles apply to different domains, and mm-hmm. even with each other's relationship as well, being maybe like a third domain. Mm-hmm. And just like, that's always been an inherent way that I've learned things. Like if I learn something in one domain, like maybe I don't understand it in a different domain, or don't have evidence in a different domain, but I'm going to try to apply as much as I can from what I've learned in this other domain to this, and just see if it works. And then,
and to
hear you doing things for 23 years is like, again, it's bridged a lot of the gaps, a lot of the questions that I have, or of my belief in that philosophy. But anyway, the question I have now to go with that is the importance of having a successful business with your ability to have the help to be able to live, basically live that. And I think everybody who listens to this podcast, like they're entrepreneurs or they're getting entrepreneurship, they want to make money. And like, why is the, going back to the very beginning where, you know, you talked about not wanting money.
Yeah.
Why is having money an important resource, or why is money a resource that can be used a value to your life?
Yeah. No, that's an awesome question. And it's making me think too of what Sam, that quote that you were talking about, I think that was something I heard from Ed Milet that was talking about, you know, going and pursuing your dreams and the kind of impact that that has on your children being able to grow. And so if the point in life is not that you're trying to prove yourself, but that you're getting the opportunity to create a beautiful experience, resources to create those experiences are very helpful. They're very handy. And so if I don't want to, it is harder for me to develop and be balanced in those things if I am juggling a ton of logistics on my own versus having the capacity of a team to be able to support that. And so I absolutely think that anything can be used for good, especially resources, finances. And when you're using that to create an experience that is for your growth and for the good growth of those around you, then it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. When you're using those resources to try to validate your worth, I think that that is a hamster wheel that will never get you anywhere. You'll never be satiated. And those were the kinds of experiences that I saw when I was younger. And I had to rebuild a money mindprint, a blueprint in my mind that was, you know, it isn't that money is good or bad. It's neutral, and it's how you use it. It's why you use it. And that's that question that I absolutely love, is it's really no matter what you're doing, whether you're choosing, you know, to be away from the home for that minute because you're working, or you're choosing to be at home. Sometimes you can be at home, but you're so resentful and you haven't done the intimate awareness of the self needs that you have, that you're actually doing more harm being at home than you are doing good. That it's more a question about integrity. And I think if we really have integrity with our intimate selves, having satiation around, you know, even the safety that comes, that does kind of help your nervous system calm down. Not that you can ever completely be in that needy frame, but being able to not have it be at the top of my, you know, trauma responses that I'm not going to have food or shelter for the week allows me to think about other developmental things that are not so limbic, that are not so basic, and having the resources and having the support around me calms my limbic nervous system self down so that I am present, more present with my children. So I am making higher level frontal cortex decisions, and I'm having the capacity to live in my frontal cortex more and more, because I do actually have the support that I need to raise these children in the experience that I want, to live in multiple places and experience the different climates of Montana and Puerto Rico, to be able to have healthy food that allows me to function at my best self, that keeps my kids healthy so that we're not wasting, you know, time being sick or at the doctor, or them not being able to develop properly because they're not getting the proper nutrition. And that does all take resources. So this is where I was wrong in the way that I pressured Jerry to just completely ignore finances. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Just focus on our family. And his vision that he had, this masculine, typical masculine energy, and again, it doesn't need to be from that gender, but one person in our relationship focusing on the things that were outside of the family, the threats coming into the family in our food and shelter, and another person thinking about the internal nucleus of the family and thinking of, you know, what is the purpose of this family unit or these relationships to create a, you know, supportive experience for everyone who's involved and the best experience in their life that they can. That's going to require food. It's going to require resources. It's going to require shelter and a car and insurance and, you know, online passwords, and like, think about all the things that it requires to really do whatever your goal, your vision for your family or for your intimacy, what those goals are. And we don't think about that. We think more just about what our goals are within our business, but it has to be, I think what Jerry and I really in, as we've talked about this content, is our either or role has merged into the value of both and the synergy of they have equal importance and the ability, Logan, like what you were saying, of, because sometimes people don't take the skill set that they have in their business and think that they need to apply it into their family or the development person, like they can look at the limitations of their business, but they won't look at the limitations of self because they have emotional trauma with that and they don't want to. But being willing to look at them both and grow your business and your family or your intimacy at the same time, synergy, both at the same time, parallel weight, I think is the best recipe for being able to enjoy the recipe or being able to enjoy the journey as you go. So, yeah.
And so when I'm sure people reach out to you all the time, you have a very unique story. You have a very unique platform to speak from. So like, do people reach out to you and ask you for like coaching or advice on parenting, on relationships, on running a business? Like, are those things that people reach out to you for?
Yeah, they do more and more. It's been awesome. It's been great. It's gotten a lot more in the last couple years. I kind of always have had the desire, I think, to share about what it is that I was learning because of the synergy that it allows me to kind of testify about what it is that I'm trying to create and manifest and be able to hear out loud and remind myself, yeah, I'm trying to create an experience here. And whereas, you know, earlier on, I had a bit of a homeschool presence and was being able to share, you know, a lot about my laundry systems. There's a YouTube video about my laundry. I think we took it down and moved it, but it had, I don't know, like 800,000 views or something about laundry. And I was kind of like, at first, just kind of trying to still even use that to prove my worth, and got to a point where I was like, I don't want my funeral headstone to be, here lies the woman who mastered laundry, and kind of tried to move out. Tried to move out of, you know, we have figured these systems out, but now we're using these systems for good, not to kind of make other moms feel frantic about not being organized enough, because that's not the point of this conversation. And so I want to move from the curiosity that people have had around the like cheaper by the dozen kind of questions, even though I know that those are still valuable, of having such a big family, but be able to move into some of the higher level mindset of, doesn't really matter what system, because the system might look different and work better for you in a different way than for us, but just just look at the systems. Just look at how you're creating hierarchy of priorities in your life, and don't do it for ego's sake. Do it for experience sake. And I feel like I could share about that all day, because it just, it makes such a difference. And it's made such a difference in my peace, in my mom guilt. Like, I feel kind of guilty that I don't feel mom guilt, because I know everybody else does. And I'm like, you know, I don't love watching my kids struggle through things, but I know that it doesn't mean anything about me as they're learning, and I want to be there beside them, and I can't be if I'm making it mean something about me. And so, you know, they're learning, I'm learning, it's all okay. And it makes it a beautiful experience.
If that right there was so good, if somebody wants to reach out to you, like, is Instagram and YouTube, yeah, is that the best way to reach out,
yeah,
to you?
Yeah. So my handle is a Growin Norton. And that's kind of a fun little pun, because my maiden name is Growin. So it's spelled Groen. But I was pregnant at the time, and obviously self-development and growing. And my brothers are all over 6 feet. My dad's 6'9". Nice. So that's a little pun. But if they want to get a hold of me or DM me, I would love suggestions for questions that people would have for content that I can put out on YouTube or this couples retreat that we're working on. I would love to hear from people.
Where's that boutique hotel at?
It's in Puerto Rico. It's in Old San Juan, and we're opening it this October.
So it's going to be a Looking Glass.
Yes, yes. It's the Looking Glass. Yep. Amazing. So you can look that up online too.
That's awesome. All right.
We'll 100% make sure that we get that. I have to say this as we wrap up. This entrepreneurship is, you know, how I mentioned earlier, there's newbies who are looking for people to look forward to and look up to in terms of business and how to do better. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who, this is why I gravitate towards Logan so much, him and his wife, and you know his wife, you know his family. Yeah. They've got so much of it figured out in such a beautiful, unique way. I have an affinity, and I gravitate towards families and people who put the family first, and they're driven by those core values. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that unfortunately has been lacking throughout American society. So I have to say, spending as much time as I have with you and Jerry and your entire clan, thank you so much for leading from the front in that. And it, because for me, like, it shows me what to look forward to. So thank you.
That's awesome. That's inspiring for me too. I think you're right.
Emery, thank you so much for your time today. This was definitely not enough time, but just the right amount. And your wisdom, again, is just, it's unparalleled. And thank you for being willing to share, and not just share this podcast, but like I said, Sam and I both have been with you and your family. And Sam's been with multiple times. So thank you for opening up, not even just us, but other people, 350 people earlier this summer as well, for people to, if they're watching, if they're observing, to actually be able to see how you guys do things, which I think there's no better way to learn than actually to be observant. And that's why I think Sam and I do, why we resonate so much with each other, because I think we're both very observant. We both like to watch. And
me too. So, me too. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. And I'm really grateful to you guys for giving me the opportunity to kind of pay it forward, because I feel like there's been a bunch of moms and mentors that have been willing to, you know, just talk through their experience, and it's truly impacted my life too. So I know you guys taking time to bring attention to this higher level stuff, and it's something unfortunate, but Jerry and I have noticed even in his content on YouTube that sometimes these really higher level mindset things are not necessarily what the masses, you know, want to know about. But what I super admire is people who are still bringing attention to it, even if it's not what's going to get tons of clicks, but just because, you know, it's the right thing. And you know that it's the higher level truths that will get out there. But it's not as entertaining, and it's not as like quick fix as like, do these five things and make $500,000. And so
have 10 kids in 10 days. Here's how we do it.
Oh my gosh. How to put people in the insane less than 10 days. That would have to be the title of that. But I super appreciate you guys reaching out and encouraging me this way, because I've needed a little bit of help in the real estate world of like, I don't know, do people really want to hear about this from me? I have had a few little, you know, like naysayers kind of be like, what do you know? You've had everything handed to you on a platter. What do you know about business? You know, Jerry's the one who's been doing everything. And I'm like, that's not how it's happened. And I don't want other people, you know, to think about that, who are really in a good synergistic role in a partnership where they are building something, to diminish and to be able to, you know, kind of shout out maybe for what the world sees as the underdog, to be like, we are not underdogs. There's lots of learning going on. So
that's a good sign. That means that when you get the haters, it means you're talking about something that's ruffling people's feathers. They don't want to, they don't want to look internally. They just, they're like, you can't be cool, Emery, because I'm not cool. So you can't be cool either. Let me just tear you down. So those are always the good signs.
Yep. And that's that self-validation, right? That relationship with self, knowing, hey, this is what is for good for me, and you don't have to agree with it for me to still feel that way.
Yep.
So this has been super fun, guys.
Emery, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Sam, thanks for hooking us up. That was amazing.
Yes, thanks, Sam. Yeah. I'm going to catch up with you in Puerto Rico too.
Of course. Thank you, guys. We'll see you all soon. And next time on The Origin Story, it's going to be a good time. Peace, guys.
See you later.